Cambridge English, Advanced 1. Published by Cambridge University Press and Cambridge English Language Assessment, 2014. This recording is copyright. CD 2. This is the Cambridge English Advanced, Test 3. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There'll now be a pause. Please ask any questions now, because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer, A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are 2 questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear 2 people discussing climate change. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
Well, that TV debate about climate change certainly gave us plenty to think about.
Certainly did. But it wasn't what was said that worried me most. We've all heard those dire predictions before, though that doesn't mean we should take them any less seriously. Didn't it strike you that some of those speakers hadn't much of a clue? It seems understandable that practically everybody wants to express an opinion about climate change. It's going to affect us all, but an uninformed opinion doesn't have much value.
I know what you mean. These days, any celebrity, no matter what they're famous for, has an opinion worth asking, it seems. About the debate, though, I think the same thing happens with articles on climate change. Obviously, nobody will read them if they're too stuffy, and a bit of controversy livens them up, which is fine, I suppose, as long as journalists don't go too far.
So long as they don't think they're supposed to be joking.
Quite. Their function is to get the message across, let the public get a true picture of what scientists are doing. But we need to know reports are accurate. So, really, scientists need to vet them.
I think there's always this sort of problem with research that captures the public imagination.
Well, that TV debate about climate change certainly gave us plenty to think about.
Certainly did. But it wasn't what was said that worried me most. We've all heard those dire predictions before, though that doesn't mean we should take them any less seriously. Didn't it strike you that some of those speakers hadn't much of a clue? It seems understandable that practically everybody wants to express an opinion about climate change. It's going to affect us all, but an uninformed opinion doesn't have much value.
I know what you mean. These days, any celebrity, no matter what they're famous for, has an opinion worth asking, it seems. About the debate, though, I think the same thing happens with articles on climate change. Obviously, nobody will read them if they're too stuffy, and a bit of controversy livens them up, which is fine, I suppose, as long as journalists don't go too far.
So long as they don't think they're supposed to be joking.
Quite. Their function is to get the message across, let the public get a true picture of what scientists are doing. But we need to know reports are accurate, so really, scientists need to vet them.
I think there's always this sort of problem with research that captures the public imagination.
Extract 2. You hear 2 pilots taking part in a discussion program about an aerobatics team in which they fly. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
The new training session is tough, isn't it? We just eat, drink and practice flying, and that's pretty hard work. But early on in the season, you do improve at quite a rapid rate, so I do find that very fulfilling. As you know, I'm in a new plane this year, which is taking some getting used to, and I've had to change some of my techniques to suit. It's been a really steep learning curve, but I can't complain after making it onto the team for the World Championships.
Yeah, we stand a chance at the Aerobatic Championships as long as we don't compromise on the team standards. Whether we'll win or not is a different matter. The last few years we've had a good core team, and since winning bronze last year, our members have been steadily improving. But this means there'll be added pressure on the pilots, which may go against us. We'll be lucky to get a team win, but we are at least aiming for some individual medals. We've got two pilots who are in the world top 10, so that's what we're aiming for.
The new training session is tough, isn't it? We just eat, drink and practice flying, and that's pretty hard work. But early on in the season, you do improve at quite a rapid rate, so I do find that very fulfilling. As you know, I'm in a new plane this year, which is taking some getting used to, and I've had to change some of my techniques to suit. It's been a really steep learning curve, but I can't complain after making it onto the team for the World Championships.
Yeah, we stand a chance at the Aerobatic Championships as long as we don't compromise on the team standards. Whether we'll win or not is a different matter. The last few years we've had a good core team, and since winning bronze last year, our members have been steadily improving. But this means there'll be added pressure on the pilots, which may go against us. We'll be lucky to get a team win, but we are at least aiming for some individual medals. We've got two pilots who are in the world top 10, so that's what we're aiming for.
Extract 3. You hear two friends talking about online book reviews. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
Apparently, there's an author who's been writing glowing online reviews of his own book, using a pseudonym, of course, and slating the work of other writers. Pretty shocking, don't you think?
Trust you to pick up on that. There are plenty of others who are quite genuine, you know.
Well, okay, maybe it is unfair to generalise, but honestly, I'd far rather read a book myself than plough through other people's opinions of one I might want to read in the future. There are reams of them, and you've no idea who posts them. People with literary pretensions, I suppose.
Surely it's good to get a range of views.
Well, I'm capable of making up my own mind, thank you.
Well, I write reviews sometimes. It's not as good as swapping ideas with the other members of my reading group, of course. No feedback, but it certainly does focus the mind. I'm sure I get more out of the books as a result.
So, do you think it'll turn you into an author too?
Don't mock. I get plenty of writing practice at work, all those dreary reports. So it's good to be able to write about something I find interesting for a change.
Apparently there's an author who's been writing glowing online reviews of his own book, using a pseudonym, of course, and slating the work of other writers. Pretty shocking, don't you think?
Trust you to pick up on that. There are plenty of others who are quite genuine, you know.
Well, okay, maybe it is unfair to generalise, but honestly, I'd far rather read a book myself than plough through other people's opinions of one I might want to read in the future. There are reams of them, and you've no idea who posts them. People with literary pretensions, I suppose.
Surely it's good to get a range of views.
Well, I'm capable of making up my own mind, thank you.
Well, I write reviews sometimes. It's not as good as swapping ideas with the other members of my reading group, of course. No feedback, but it certainly does focus the mind. I'm sure I get more out of the books as a result.
So, do you think it'll turn you into an author too?
Don't mock. I get plenty of writing practice at work, all those dreary reports. So, it's good to be able to write about something I find interesting for a change.
That's the end of part 1.